and who is not entitled to bear the title. This is not a cult we're creating. But to me, the individualist is one who has had the courage to respect his own mind, to determine for himself the nature of life. He has determined for himself the premises upon which he will construct his philosophy of life and his code of conduct. But he also recognizes that everyone else in this world is going to do exactly the same thing, no matter how sloppily or unthoughtfully they may go about it. But this means that he expects others to go their own ways in seeking happiness. He expects others to act from different premises. He expects others to have different moralities. And he makes no attempt to condemn them as being unfit, because he realizes that he is not condemning them from their own standards by which they've been acting. The individualist recognizes all this and expects nothing else, because nothing else would be realistic. He knows that no one owes him anything, because he can't make anybody pay it. He is starting out all alone in this world, and he knows it. He doesn't kid himself into thinking that someone else is living for his happiness. Rather, he makes it his business to arrange the kind of relationships wherein it will be profitable to others to help him get his happiness. And so, he's that rare individual who can enter a personal relationship on a truly realistic basis. He recognizes the true sovereignty of the other person involved and doesn't enter the relationship with the idea in mind that he's going to mold that other person to suit his wishes. And he knows that that other person is judging him from that other person's standards and will find it profitable or not continue. The individualist then doesn't look down on others or look up at others. He recognizes them for what they are, individuals, each of whom is a world unto himself and the highest authority in that world. So he knows that any shortcoming that another individual may have by his standards is undoubtedly accompanied by a shortcoming in him according to the other person's standards. He doesn't expect people to buy from him unless he is offering those people something they want, no matter how much he thinks he knows what is good for them. He doesn't expect his spouse to love him without earning that love, by her standards, not his. He doesn't expect anyone to respect him unless he is contributing something positive to the happiness that they seek in their lives by their concept of what will bring them happiness. He does not have to enter any of these relationships, but he knows that they won't exist unless the other participants are satisfied too. So what is the point ever of ignoring their profit motives? In fact, he would actually be embarrassed if he caught himself condemning someone else for not acting by his standards, since he knows those standards only apply to himself. He doesn't lose his balance because he is never counting on what cannot be. He has no temper tantrums because there just isn't anyone who is a proper target for his anger, and he knows it. He is not racked with uncertainty or quiet doubts that eat silently away at his constitution, because he has faced reality as it is, incorporated into his decisions, and acted upon what he wants and knows that he can realistically have. He suffers no overwhelming disappointments because he knows what will remain unknown to him, and adds up his vulnerability instead of just hoping that everything is going to go away. He is not besieged with the three evils that Ayn Rand identified as pain and fear and guilt. What is there to be pained about? He has arranged his life realistically so that his small mistakes are not going to compound themselves into gigantic consequences. And he pays prices for the small mistakes, knowing what he's paying for. And so even when he must suffer in a small way, he knows why, and he is willing to do it for the greater happiness it will ultimately bring him, rather than compounding the suffering by trying to ignore it. In this way, he actually steps outside of the suffering, treats it impersonally, and prevents it from throwing him for a loss. What is there to be afraid of? Life is an adventure. No one owes the individualist anything, so he doesn't have to be scared to death that they aren't going to pay it. What is there to be guilty of? He is responsible to no one but himself. No one's acts but his own could make him feel guilty. He is not going to chastise himself for someone else's actions, for someone else's unhappiness, even if those actions appear to be reactions to his. And even his own mistakes are only a part of the history upon which he has to build at any given moment. So he always starts from where he is right now, learning from the past, but living in the present and the future. The individualist doesn't build societal structures, he builds himself. Society depends upon too many other individuals acting in just the right way to make it work, and he doesn't control others, he controls only himself. He doesn't try to change others, he protects himself from those who would harm him. He knows that even the thief is acting from his own limited knowledge of what will bring him happiness, the same basis from which the individualist is acting. It is only that the individualist feels he has found a better way of obtaining happiness, but he knows there is no way he can compel the thief to go.